next song, number 688. We'll sing the first and last verses, number 688.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's barren happy land where my possessions lie. We will rest in the barren happy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing a song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. Feel with delight my raptured soul, would here no longer stay. Though Jordan's waves around me roll, fearless I launch away. We will rest in the fair and happy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore.
This afternoon. Dear Lord, we are so thankful to be here, to come here as Christians, brothers and sisters of Christ, to study, learn, to glorify you. We're thankful for every opportunity we have to be together. This being on Christmas Day, day of the year that we are so blessed to remember the Son, your Son, Jesus Christ, his birth. We're thankful for this congregation at Beach Hill. We're thankful for the work we do here. We pray that you continue to bless us in numbers, bless us in spirit, bless us in strength. We pray that we can be a shining light to the world, community, to save souls through our efforts. We pray for our elders and our leadership that they can have the wisdom and the insight and the zeal that they need to carry on this work. We're mindful of the many that was mentioned who were sick. This is great. We know that you know all things, dear Lord, and that you know their needs. We pray at this time that you would be with the families and the ones mentioned who are sick, who are having surgeries, who are in rehab. We know that they are suffering at this time. We pray for comfort and peace and healing. We're thankful for Jesus Christ. We're thankful that he came to this earth. We're thankful that he gave himself as a sacrifice, an atonement for our sins, that we, through your plan of salvation, can have come in contact with him and to come to you in prayer today and also have forgiveness of our sins. We pray that you would forgive us of our sins. You would help us in our daily walks and our daily fight, that we can be strong, good examples, do the right thing, but most of all, be children of yours and be with you in heaven someday. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
For song before our lesson, number 237, we'll sing the first and last verses, number 237.
Beyond this land of parting, losing and leaving, far beyond darkness and far beyond the taking and the reaping lies the summer land of bliss. Land beyond so fair and bright,
Christian song, we're number 459, number 459, Brother King.
The affirmation in the 13th chapter of the Epistle to Hebrews, verse 8, is quite well known, and most who are Bible readers and Christians can easily remember and quote these words as they speak to us in this one final lesson about Jesus Christ in the month of December and the last sermon presented in this year 2022. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The word forever is an important word in this epistle to the Hebrews. It appears not numerous times, but it appears in significant passages that affirm what was foretold by David in Psalm 110 about the one who would be at the right hand of God. And as Peter proclaimed, he's there as Lord and Christ. And as this writer says, that fourth verse in that same psalm makes the promise that you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That is the promise of God concerning the same person who would be at his right hand and reign there. Psalm 110, verses 1 and 4. The Lord has sworn and he will not retract it, said David in that statement. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, forever. To emphasize this forever quality of his ministry as high priest at the right hand of God, the writer goes on to speak about his priesthood being unchangeable because he abides forever, chapter 7 and verse 22, 23 and 24. And then in verse 25, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost, that is completely and to the end, because he ever lives to make intercession for us. This is the one who obtained for us eternal redemption that is forever. And he did so by offering himself to God through the eternal spirit in the chapter 9 and verses 11 and 12, and then in verse 14. This one has entered into the presence of God now to appear before the face of God for us. And so it is because of what he has done in opening up that way, that spiritually in him, we too may go into the holy place and do so with boldness to be in the presence of God through Jesus Christ because of the sacrifice he made for us and his resurrection from the dead. He ever lives to make intercession for us. This he does not do as one who is dead. He arose from the dead. He lives to make intercession for us. That which is implied there is then affirmed in the last chapter of this book that God raised him from the dead. I want to speak about the fact that this verse in chapter 13, this affirmation that he is the same yesterday and today and forever, is given there in a context in which Paul or the writer of this letter, whoever it may be, is emphasizing that there are some things that ought to continue. And we have a part in many of these things, and the other things that Christ has done for us, we receive by faith and a submission of our lives to him. There are things that ought to abide among us as Christians, such as love of the brethren, verse 1, and caring for those who, though they may be strangers to us, perhaps they're in the service of the Lord and passing through, missionaries of the gospel, other faithful people in Lord's service, they can receive hospitality and support from us, and we can help them along their way, verse 2. Verse 3, those who are in bonds that are in view here are those that are suffering persecution, maybe even actual imprisonment or suffering in some other way for the cause of our Lord. They may be people known to us locally who suffer some kind of oppression or persecution for their faith, or there may be people in distant places, and we too can be of remembrance of them in practical ways to help them and to reach out to them, as this congregation has done even recently in seeking to help those who suffered such afflictions in other places. And in the home, there ought to be a Christian fidelity, things that continue there that God has ordained for the home, for marriage and for the bringing up of children. And we, as those who serve the Lord and put emphasis upon spiritual priorities, are not to be guided by a love for money as if it is a priority. And therefore, if we have our spiritual priorities right, we will be free from the anxiety that has to do with material things. Here we have the promise of God. I will not in any wise fail you. I will not in any wise forsake you. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. So that with good courage, we say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What shall man do to me? The emphasis, and it is with great emphasis, the writer states this in verse 5, is that there are no circumstances that man may make, that man may create or bring to bear upon the lives of people and even cause their suffering. There are no circumstances in which God will fail or forsake his people. He will be mindful of their suffering and their need, and he will stand by them, and he will help them, and he will bring them through it. It's the presence of God, and this assurance is a comfort and strength to God's people in difficult times. And so also we remember those that have given leadership, even as we prayed tonight. We remember those in time past who have done this faithfully, and we're thankful that they spoke the word of God. We're thankful for those who speak God's word today with faithfulness. This is verse 7. And it is in this place that the writer points out the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What was his word that he gave during his ministry is still his word today. What he promised then, he promises to his people today. What he said he would do for them then, he will do for us today. And so then with that principle in mind, we're not going to be swept away, verse 8, by strange and new teachings that come along. No, we'll rely upon the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and those who have served him speaking God's word. There are things that never have been of profit to us spiritually. The writer speaks of those here at verse 9. And there are things that once were of some profit that God did change. And he has emphasized that throughout this letter. There was once an old covenant. We now have a better and a new covenant and an eternal covenant in Christ. The old covenant had its place and it served a